Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Reading from Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, Memorization Monday, May 10th, 2021. Listening friends, this is another one of those divine appointments, these God sightings that I get to experience. I love leaning on that edge where it's like, Lord, what are you going to do? If you don't show up, I don't know what I'm going to do come Monday. Well, God answered my prayers. In fact, last Friday, I helped host a special pastor initiative. I think there was 20 different pastors representing a variety of churches throughout the greater Champaign-Urbana area. I think Fisher and Muhammad were also included. And we had a glorious time. Well, one of those that attended, his name is Jim Dixon, who I've known. Gosh, Jim, how many years do we go back? It seems like a lot of years, almost. Was it from Jewel Food Stores? Was it from a prayer gathering?
Actually, at the initiation or the startup of these stations.
Starting up the station.
Well over 20 years.
Yeah, you and Lydia, I think, have faithfully supported us for so many years.
Yes.
And so we have in the studio Jim Dixon. He and his wife Lydia, they both were born in Champaign. So
yes.
You've been here for, I think you were saying, 83. So
yes.
83 or so years right here. So locally grown and nurtured. You've attended the Stratford Park Bible Chapel as long as I can remember.
Yeah, all my life.
All your life. And Ken Raymond, he's a godly pastor. He's been here for many, many years. I appreciate him. And you guys hold to the Word of God verse by verse. Sharon, you've had many Bible conferences. I think way back in the days when Dr. Bruce Dunn was alive, he used to say, I used to speak at that church, Bible prophecy or Bible conferences. So Stratford Park Bible Chapel has been known as holding to God's inerrant word and teaching it and preaching it. And I appreciate Ken. I haven't met up with him in a number of years. In fact, I was hoping he was going to be a part of last Friday's pastor initiative, but schedules and other things that came up, he couldn't make it. But you got to attend, which was wonderful. And we started talking, and you shared with some pastors, and I thought it was so interesting. And I'm thinking, gosh, that could be like a radio program. But you talked about pivoting conversations, pivoting circumstances where God is glorified and referred to and talked about, and that'll be somewhat a part of our program today. It'll turn into a little bit of a testimony Tuesday also, as we're going to look at Acts 1:11 and read from 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart by Robert J. Morgan. But I'm going to share a little more of an introduction in just a minute. But you had shared through one of your pivoting conversations with somebody, God being colorblind. And I thought of this song, Children of the World, Red and Yellow, Black and White, in God's sight, we're all equal. And so before I more formally introduce you, let's play a little bit of that song. And then we're going to talk about some of your faith journey, life story, and how God has used this concept of pivoting to really bring him glory and help people come to the understanding that God cares for them, that God loves them, and that Jesus, God's very own son, shed his blood, died on the cross, did that for us so that we could have a relationship with God. So we'll talk a little about that. But here's Linda McKechnie and a portion of Children of the World. Oh, those sweet little voices and, you know, what it represents, that in God's sight, like you were saying, God is colorblind in the sense that he doesn't see black and white, red and yellow. Well, maybe he does. I mean, he created those differences in our DNAs, and so everyone is special and uniquely made, but in a sense, as far as his love and his compassion and as far as being equal in his sight, yes, he is colorblind in that sense, but he does delight, and I think he likes variety. And so you had talked about that song and a pivot one time that you were sharing with an individual. So let me finish with my introduction, and then I want you to talk a little bit about pivoting. But you, for many years, were in the financial services, and you helped people with estate planning and funds and planning for the future and such. As mentioned, you grew up in the greater Champaign-Urbana area your whole life. You and Lydia both live here. She's currently in a care facility, your beloved. How many years have you two been married?
Be 58 years, the 19th of this month of May.
58 years. And like I said, I've known you since the start of the radio station. You guys attended some of our early banquets. We haven't had one of those in many, many years. And you were at Friday's gathering with this pastor initiative, which was really special. We prayed up how we may continue to meet and how God may use this gathering to impact the community, impact many people's lives. Our board chair, Pastor Juan Laredo, and I shared our desire and heart to minister to pastors, to build them up, to encourage them, to maybe provide symposiums or workshops or seminars, whatever, to build into them different things that, you know, they can do to optimize their ministry work in the community. And you were a part of that. You saw a lot of great activity and prayer time and enthusiasm for us to continue. We were kind of just meeting to hash out and talk through, is this something that maybe God would be calling us and us as a radio ministry, Great News Media, to coordinate and facilitate? And just seemed like people were really encouraged and are going to meet again next month, and we'll have more to say about it. It's still very fresh, and we want to meet and pray and talk through how to encourage other pastors. But you were a part of that. I think you left pretty encouraged. You think so?
Oh, definitely, without a doubt.
Yeah. Well, I asked you on Friday, could you be a part of Memorization Monday as we look at Acts 1:11? And you said, Mark, I love God's Word. Stratford Park Bible Chapel, we teach it, we think about it, we allow God's Holy Spirit to bring conviction and hope and insight. It helps us know God better, and I'd be happy to join you. What's the verse? And I said, it's Acts 1:11, and you're going to read it. And so let me cite it again, and then you're going to read from 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan. We're looking at Acts 1:11, which states, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
And Robert J. Morgan continues by saying as follows, "Jesus entered and exited the world dramatically. He emerged from the womb of a virgin, and he disappeared by slipping into the clouds. As the disciples were peering into heaven at our Lord's ascension, two angels addressed them with this memory verse. To my mind, the most interesting words are in the same way, indicating there are definite parallels between his ascension and his return, and following are four of them. Number one, his return will be literal. This same Jesus will return physically and bodily. Jesus said, a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Luke 24:39. And then number two, his return will be visible. Jesus was taken up as they were watching. Many passages tells us the second coming will be a visible event. Zechariah 12:10, Revelation 1:7, Mark 14:62, Matthew 24:30. Many verses to support this. Step three, his return will be in the clouds. The Bible makes a point of telling us that Jesus will come again in clouds of glory. Just as a cloud received him as his ascension, the clouds will accompany his return. And that is referred to in Daniel 7:13, Matthew 24:30, and 26:64. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and Revelation 7. Again, many verses that attend to that statement. That's the reason God gives us so many of these beautiful skyscapes. Number four. His return will be to the Mount of Olives. He ascended from here, the Mount of Olives, and according to Zechariah 14:4, here he will return. And continuing on, Our son-in-law, Ethan, was gone for many months during his military training. Everyone missed him, of course, especially Lily, age one. Victoria kept Ethan's pictures nearby and told her he was coming back someday. Last Friday night, Katrina and I put Lily in her crib about 8:30. A half hour later, Victoria drove in from Fort Lee with Ethan. We sat and talked a few minutes, then Victoria went to the crib, gently lifted Lily out, and sat on the sofa beside Ethan. The little girl, still mostly asleep, opened her eyes and saw her dad. For a couple of minutes, she gazed at him. You could see wheels turning in her mind. Then she grinned. She looked away, but her eyes darted back, and the two of them smiled and played eye games. Lily reached out and touched Ethan lightly, then started slapping at him. Next, she leaned over and squirmed against him. All at once, she was in his arms, kissing him with her open mouth, wet kisses, and hugging him, and she hasn't let go since. I can't help wondering if that's a little picture of how we'll feel when we see Jesus. And then R.A. Torrey makes this statement to wrap this up. He shall so come in like manner. By any fair interpretation, this can mean nothing short of a visible and bodily coming. It may mean more than that. It cannot mean less, by R.A. Torrey.
You know, as you were reading, I was thinking about how you were bragging up your grandchildren, or I think you even said your great-grandchildren, and loving on them, and what an exciting time, and how as a father and a grandfather and a great-grandfather to see the next generations and to see life and to pour into that life godly examples and pointing them also to God. Yeah, our verse is Acts 1:11. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. And I think, Jim, you know, so oftentimes, you know, as believers, you and I as believers, followers of Jesus, we know all about his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and, you know, we thank God that he's interceding on our behalf. He's in heaven. But so few of us tend to talk much about his return. It seems like it doesn't get front and center and talked a lot about. I mean, we know he's going to return, but I think we get into our day-to-day witnessing, living for him, struggling through life, consumed by circumstance, and we don't think or dwell much on he is returning in bodily form. He is coming back. And I think if we thought more about it, we would live each day maybe a little differently, maybe a more attentive, could today be the day? Like, how would he find me? If he returned in the next hour, would the activity or the practice or watching whatever show or being involved in whatever, would he be proud of that activity? Would we welcome him with open arms because of what we're involved in at the moment? And so I think this is a good verse for us for this day, for this week, to think about, are we going to be ready when he returns? Because he will return. Yeah. Well, you do a very unique thing, and that's one of the reasons I asked you on Friday, could you be a part of Memorization Monday? Because you were sharing with a couple of us, and we were delighting in all the examples you gave, and you said, I love the word pivot. Christians need to learn to pivot. Christians need to be engaged in conversations that pivot and point towards God. And you gave like three or four or five different examples, and I think of that one brother that was like, I love you, man, and I think he just met you, right? But talk us through this concept of pivot and why it has become a part of your everyday conversation.
Yeah. Well, the action actually of pivoting has been around a long time. In fact, we're going to have to look at the Lord Jesus and his story and the story of his life. And he did a lot of pivoting. As an example, he would tell a earthly story, and then he would pivot to the heavenly meaning that it had for us. And I think that we need to do that now more than ever, because his coming can be at any moment. And we need to not only be prepared as believers for that, but be instantly available to share his word. And one example I'll give you, I have one of my shirts that happens to be a dark blue with polka dots in it. And the individual commented on the shirt, and they liked the idea of the polka dots and mentioned something about how many was on there. And I said, well, I said, the number of polka dots be kind of hard to count. And I said, it reminded me of a story that occurred many years ago, a true story, thousands of years ago, when God took a man by the name of Abraham And he took him out to the desert where it was all dark. There's no city lights then. And he could see all the glory of the beauty of these stars. And God told him that Abraham's seed or family would be greater in number than those stars, which are actually incapable. And that was a beautiful story, because that was the starting of God's pipeline that he was creating on the human side for God to come to this earth in the form of human flesh, but yet divine, God in the flesh, to witness to us and then eventually die for us, be buried, and then rise again, and looking for his coming back. So that would be one of many areas. But as believers, we need to be constantly aware of the need to share the Lord Jesus with others. And a lot of times, a common store, whether it be a shirt or a car or you name it, you can pivot and get right into the important thing, which is, where are you going to spend eternity? A decision that has to be made in this little slice of time that God has given each one of us.
And I like with some of these pivot stories you were sharing on Friday, and then even today, where you said, Mark, it can be in the aisle at Lowe's, it can be at the grocery store, it can be just talking to a friend, but you kind of season the conversation, and then at some point you pivot towards spiritual things. And I think somebody was commenting about your new car or something, and the Ancient of Days. Tell me that one again.
Well, okay, yeah. This has happened, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, and I just parked the car in Champaign to go in the store to shop. So an individual, an older gentleman, said, that's a beautiful car. I love the pearl white on it. And I said, well, thank you. And I said, that car is on loan to me by my father. So he looked at me. I'm in my 80s. And he said, well, my goodness, he said, your father must be quite old. So I said, well, actually, we have a family nickname for him. We call him the Ancient of Days. And then I owed up to what I was referring to as my Heavenly Father. So I was able, again, to pivot into that which is important. And then I've got a little funny paper type track called Heaven's Gate that I like to hand to them so they can read this. And I challenge them to look at the final question, because the way they answer that question will determine whether they spend eternity in a Christless eternity or one with Christ in heaven with those of us who believe in him. Mm-hmm. So that's another example.
And I love how you engage in a conversation. It's kind of like a little teaser, or it's like a little way like, oh, tell me more. Tell me about this Ancient of Days, or, what's behind that story. And I think it's a very common Jewish practice. I know many rabbis, as you're discussing or thinking through something, you usually ask a question that asks a question that asks a question, because it's telling the speaker that you're paying attention. Because if you state something and then I ask a question, then you might answer it with another question to further cause me to think it through, to ask another question. And some of those examples, they're given in such a way it's like, oh, I got to find out. Gosh, if he's 80, how old is his father? Oh, tell me more. And then the Ancient of Days, and then you kind of got him in a good way. They smile, and it's a neat way to engage. And so when you were talking about pivot, some other people this past Friday were saying, I love that word. And I thought, maybe there should be a radio program or the one-minute pivot and give a creative illustration about, maybe it's talking about children. And then you transition into, God knows all about children because he became one. He became dependent on a family. He grew in the graces, and yet he was more than just a normal average child. He was God, too. He was fully a child, but fully God. And what? Oh, and then you can introduce him. Have you never heard of Jesus? Yeah. And there's many different pivot points you can have.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, what's that verse where you do everything with love and care and compassion? So it's not a gotcha. It's not to shame them. It's to say, there's a God that loves you. And if you only knew how much he loves you, and let me share how he demonstrated that. He demonstrated that by, if you were the only sinner, the only one that ever made a mistake, he still would have come to redeem you because he cares that much about you. He's fashioned you. He's created you. And yeah, that concept of pivot could be pivotal for somebody today as they're thinking about, I've just never thought about like a humorous way to turn the conversation into a God-honoring, maybe a parable like Jesus used them, right?
Absolutely. Well, Mark, let me give you a few other examples. They're really like as you walk a pathway and you see different stones, it's like life's pathways. There's all kind of pivotal points. And as believers, we need to keep our eyes tuned to the fact that, okay, now how can I use this and use it as a pivot point to get their interest? And one example is if you end your conversation, find out, let's say, if it's a farm person, then you can say, start in by talking about the crops. And I said, you know, that reminds me that, you know, when you plant that seed of corn or wheat in that crop, it actually dies in the process of giving life to multiply thousands of other seeds. And as a farmer, you know that, you know. And Jesus himself was a seed. And he said that by one man's death, the world will be saved based on those who accept the meaning of that death. And so that's just another example where there's farming examples, there's manufacturing examples, there are technical examples, and they're all along the way. And Jesus, again, was a perfect example of that because he used not only the seed and the ground that the seed fell on, different types of ground, the fertile ground, the ground that refused the seed, on and on. So we have those wonderful examples there. Yeah. And as you gain experience in this, why God will bring that to your mind. Mm-hmm. And he will provide the words that flows through your mouth to speak. Right. Because the hound of heaven, as I like to refer to him, better known as the Holy Spirit, will lead and guide you. And then your prayer should be to take that and let that wonderful hound of heaven, the Holy Spirit, to convict that heart of their need of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm. Jim, not that you need another thing at 83 to do, but I could see a book called Pivot.
Yeah.
And just talking about story after story. Maybe people submit them and you collect them or something, but I think it would be a very interesting book to read on how to pivot our conversations to bring glory to God.
Yeah, I can give you one other one.
Yeah.
I was disembarking from a flight, and the two pilots were sitting there, and I said, as I walked out, I said, you guys got just a minute? And they said, yeah. And I said, you know, do you know what the first of the various commandments for the pilot is? Well, no. And I said, well, the very first commandment is that thou shalt keep thy flying speed up, lest the ground rise up and smite thee.
Oh, jeez.
So they had a little laugh. They hadn't heard that, you know.
Yeah.
Now, that reminds me, you know, of the Ten Commandments, which God our Father has set up for us. And there are certain ground rules spiritually that we need to follow. And just like you have certain ground rules, and that's why we landed here safely, because you obeyed those commandments.
Right.
And God will bless us if we do those things that he has asked us to do for his sake. And that's just another example. They're all around.
And I think what's so wonderful about that example is it brought humor and levity.
Exactly.
And oftentimes people are much more receptive or attentive to what you're going to say because you've already had an engagement point, a positive experience.
Well, that reminds me of a homiletics class I attended many years ago. He said, when you're speaking, that you need to put a sense of humor there. And he says, then when their mouths are open laughing, that's when you pop the truth in.
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, listening friend, Acts 1, verse 11, our verse for the day and the week. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. All listening friend, may we all anticipate his return. And for those of you that haven't experienced that redemptive work that he did on your behalf, he died for your sins, he loves you, he cares for you, he is the Savior of the world, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He desires to have a relationship with you. Get to know him today so that when he returns, you're ready. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Jim Dixon with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.